This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Okay, welcome back in, everybody. So glad you're with us here today. Longshore McKnight on the Budweiser Sports Line. And we welcome in our friend Phil Savage to our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. He is the color analyst for the Alabama Radio Network, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. You also see him on ESPN with their NFL coverage. Phil, good morning, sir. How are you today?
Well, good morning, guys. And although it's January 6th, I think we can still say Happy New Year up through this weekend, maybe. But I hope you guys are doing well.
Well, we are doing well. And for a lot of people, as you well know, Phil, a long way towards making it a Happy New Year happens Monday night. First of all, let's get caught up a little bit. Alabama looks very, very strong, at least, against Washington. I'm trying to think of the right adjective to term the overall performance Alabama had in the college football playoff semifinals. Have you got one, a good adjective?
Well, I would say it was a tale of two different sides of the ball. I think because of the controversy surrounding Lane Kiffin and the disjointed performance of the offense, it really overshadowed maybe Alabama's most impressive performance on defense, because Washington was a legitimate offense with a great head coach, terrific offensive coordinator. They had a ton of skilled players. The quarterback is all-conference and will be all-American in the future. And yet, after one singular touchdown drive, Bama really shut the Huskies down. And I thought that sort of got lost in the shuffle with, of course, everything that went down on Sunday and Monday.
Offensively, Phil, things didn't look as smooth as we've seen Alabama in prior games. We actually spoke to someone earlier this week that made the statement that there were some things called in that game offensively that had not been practiced prior to the game. Does that sound like something that would be accurate?
I don't know if that's true or not, but there were certainly some plays that didn't work that looked like they had not been practiced, because the Tide really struggled. You know, it wasn't all on Jalen Hurts in the passing game. There were some gaps in the pass protection where he was forced to get out of dodge quicker than he would have liked. And, of course, the saving grace was the fact that he could turn and hand the football in this particular case to Bo Scarborough, who looked like a different player compared to the way he appeared back in August and September. And you know, I think we'll see a heavy dose of Bo Scarborough on Monday night under the leadership now of Steve Sarkisian. But for whatever reason, it just, you know, we had a couple of false start penalties. You had some formation fouls. There were several delay of game penalties. And all of those things really impacted Alabama. Because, listen, every yard is precious when you're being led by a true freshman quarterback. And we've said all season that Alabama has to be productive on first and second down to keep Jalen Hurts out of the situation of third and long, because right now he's just not accomplished enough to consistently be able to do that. Now, in the future, I think he's going to be just fine. I think his upside is phenomenally high. But right now, because of this defense and because of J.K. Scott as the punter, maybe he didn't have to do as much Saturday against Washington. He's certainly going to have to do more against Clemson.
Your thoughts on Steve Sarkisian and the challenge that's facing him on Monday night? It's obviously a peculiar challenge, having to call plays for your first time with the program in the national championship game. Give us a look into his set of responsibilities Monday night and the potential for performance.
Yeah, you know, I've known Sark to a degree for years, since he was at USC as an assistant coach, and then, of course, he became the head coach at Washington before coming back to the Trojans later. So I got to know him through scouting their players and then my work here at the Reese's Senior Bowl. But Sark and Lane, you know, grew up in somewhat of the same philosophy, a West Coast style of offense, which is more rhythm, timing-based, passing game. But with more of an emphasis on the run than people realize, I personally think that he's a better quarterback coach in terms of the nuances of the position, the footwork, the techniques, those sorts of things. I think that might help Jalen Hurts to a degree. He's not going to try to change his motion or anything over the course of a quick week because he's got bigger fish to fry. But I do think that a different voice and in the ear of Jalen Hurts could perhaps help him at this stage of the game. This is what was going to happen later this spring anyway, so they get a bit of a jump start on that. But I do think that if Bama has some success running the football, we'll see Sark stick with it a little more than Lane. I mean, I know that you guys, like many Alabama fans and like Eli Gold and our radio crew, there are times where Bama will run the ball two or three times in a row and then all of a sudden throw three or four passes in a row, and everybody's looking around like, why did we just do that? I don't want to critique play calling because those guys spend hours upon hours getting ready to for these games. But the point I'm trying to make is I do think that from a logical standpoint, Sark will be a little closer to the book maybe than Lane, which in this case on Monday night I think helps Alabama because if you look at last year's game, it was overshadowed because of the incredible surprise onside kick and then the kick return for a touchdown by Kenyon Drake. But on offense, Alabama did not turn the ball over. They only had two penalties in the entire game, and they were 9-for-18 on third down. Bama's got to replicate that same kind of performance, and I think Sark can get it done with the two freshman quarterbacks.
Well, the third down thing leads into my next question because, we're not second-guessing the play calling, but we think back last year when Alabama had that stretch run through the Auburn game, the SEC championship and the playoff and all that. Derrick Henry was getting 30, 33, 38 carries a ball game and making the opposing defenses like it. Boy, I tell you what, Bo Scarborough, if we look back to last year, you know, that kind of a thing, if that mindset had prevailed against Washington, he'd have gotten it 38 times and he'd have run for about 240. They were tired of tackling him in the fourth quarter, Phil.
Yes, they were. And, of course, remember last year Kenyon Drake was out for that stretch
season.
And so Bama really leaned on Derrick Henry. They're not really built that way this year. They've tried to incorporate really all of the running backs, with Damian Harris and Joshua Jacobs, but it became apparent very quickly Saturday against Washington that this was a Bo Scarborough kind of game. He responded in a big way. I mean, the touchdown run that sealed the deal was as good as we've seen all year, maybe over the last decade under Nick Saban, and they've had an amazing running back there in Tuscaloosa. So, you know, I'm anxious to see on Monday night what the approach is. Remember this, Clemson last year, the strength of their team was in the secondary and on the edges at the defensive end spot. This year, it's almost inverse of that. The strength of the Clemson defense is the two interior and really the three or four interior defensive linemen that they rotate through, and there's some inexperience on the edges with the exception of one corner, Cordray Tankersley. So I look for Alabama to try to run not to the perimeter, but to the edge of the tackle box, at that tight end tackle area, that C-gap part of their offense. I think that's where they'll try to run the football, but I do think that they'll throw it outside and deep. Bama needs to hit a couple shot plays just like they did last year. And, of course, you know, Clemson, they've got two Achilles heels that only one team's been able to exploit, and that was the Pitt Panthers back in November when they beat the Tigers 43-42. But Clemson has turned the football over all year long. They're 117th in the country in giveaways. And then defensively, although they're very good on that side of the ball, when they give up touchdowns, it's usually of the big play variety. So Alabama's got to explore that possibility on Monday night.
Phil Savage of the Alabama Radio Network, their color analyst, joining us here this morning. And Phil, expanding on the Clemson team, last year at this time we were talking with you, and you made a statement that at the time I went, wow, I hadn't really thought about that. It kind of surprised me. And you said in the three previous national championship games, the talent wasn't as good as what Alabama was going to face against Clemson in last year's game in Tempe. Compare this year's Clemson team to last year that you were so high on before Alabama played them.
Yeah, you reference, I like to count up how many guys on the other team's depth chart or in their starting lineup. If they showed up on Nick Saban's doorstep in Tuscaloosa, could he figure out a way, or would he be willing to get them in a role to contribute as either a starter or a contributing backup? And, you know, the Notre Dame game, I had seven Irish players that I thought could play for Alabama. I said, this is going to be a blowout if Alabama takes care of the football. It was. In contrast to that, 2 years ago against Ohio State, I thought they had maybe 18 guys that could play for Alabama. That proved to be a difficult matchup for us on that night in the Sugar Bowl semifinal. And then last year, I had about 15 or 16 for Clemson. I think they're probably right at that same number again. Where they lost some players, they've added others in different spots. And, of course, maybe the great equalizer in all this is the quarterback in Deshaun Watson. I think he's the best player in the country. I thought he deserved to win the Heisman. And I will tell you guys this little anecdote. When I was at the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award in Baltimore the night before the Heisman Trophy, Deshaun won that honor, and I'm a voter for that particular trophy. And you could just tell that he has a big chip on his shoulder to want to try and prove that he is the best player in the country and to try and lead his team to a national title. So there's a lot of motivation on the Clemson side of the coin. But I think for Alabama, there's just as much motivation because, number one, this defense knows that if they can win Monday night, they'll go down as one of the greatest, if not the best defense of all time. But to make that claim, they have to win this game and put it on their resume.
Well, let me ask you about this. Since you bring up postseason awards and the potential of being the best of all time, I have noted that in the long history of Alabama, the most highly decorated defensive player in the history of the program is Jonathan Allen. He's the overall, you know, and of course we talked with him live several times. Overall, he's the best defensive player I've seen in the country in the last couple of years. Your thoughts on Jonathan Allen?
Yeah, Jonathan, I've termed him the face of the franchise for this 2016 Alabama team. He represents everything that is right, that is great about college football. Off the field, he's a class act. On the field, he's a top line talent. He's going to be most likely a top five, if not top 10 NFL draft pick. Could go in the top three when it's all said and done. But he's so versatile. He can play inside as a tackle. He can play outside as an end. He's a leader amongst his peers. And I thought that he deserved a seat at the table for the Heisman Trophy. It's tough for a defensive lineman to get there, but I thought that he should have been there because I did think that he was the best player on arguably the best team in the country. And so typically that person gets to go to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And so with all that said, I just, again, you go back through his background, the family history, the fact that he doesn't even know where his mother is now after, you know, she was put out of the picture essentially when he was a kid. He and his father ended up on the street. His big brother essentially raised him along with his dad. And for him to turn out the way he has, just a big, big tribute to his own perseverance. And Bama couldn't have a better guy leading them out of the tunnel, other than Nick Saban, of course, than Jonathan Allen.
Yeah, you're right, Phil. I've heard so many people say so many positive things about Jonathan, how not only he represents himself, but the university, and has just it's a remarkable story, and certainly proud of him and rooting for him. My last question, Alabama scored a lot of non-offensive touchdowns this year, defensively and special teams. To me, those are gravy. Those are gifts. You can't go into a game thinking, wow, we're going to score two defensive touchdowns today. You got to have the offense clicking. And obviously, to me, that's the key Monday night, is the offense being able to produce touchdowns and going into this game not relying on non-offensive touchdowns. Because unlike last year, Phil, when there was 85 points scored in this game, I'm thinking this game's going to be somewhere in the mid to high 40s.
Yeah, you know, I would say this. Bama's got to be very functional on offense. Because ball possession, to me, is going to be the number one factor in this game. Bama's got to play keep away. It's going to, I think they're going to turn back the pages and go back to a little bit more of what we thought of Nick Saban in his earlier years in Tuscaloosa, that it's going to be a run-oriented, ball control, play keep away kind of attack on Monday night. And because this is what I would say, I personally think that if the score gets north of 30 points, Alabama could be in some real jeopardy, because I'm not sure that in an offense-defense game that they can keep pace with Clemson's offense if it turns into a track meet.
Now, you're saying if Clemson scores 30 points, not a total of 30 points.
Yes. If Clemson, if the scoring gets above 30 like it was last year, I think Bama will be in trouble, because you cannot count on defensive and special team scores. And, I mean, those were two rabbits out of the hat that Alabama pulled out last year with the onside kick and then, of course, the kick returned by Kenyon Drake. So, to me, if it stays in the 20s or lower, I think Alabama's chances go up exponentially in winning that kind of slowed-down, slugfest kind of game. I mean, Bama prides themselves on their toughness, their resilience. They've just figured out a way through 14 games to stay undefeated. They're chasing history. They want to be the first team to ever win 15 games in a season at the FBS level. And, again, they want to stamp this defense as the greatest of all time. And to do that, the crowning achievement would be slowing down this Clemson offense.
Phil Savage, the college football playoff rounds out on Monday. And then, let me do the math here, less than 3 weeks before the Reese's Senior Bowl coming up January the 28th, right?
Yeah, we've been juggling a few. You talk about being a coordinator and head coach. We've been juggling our own set of jobs down here this week, but we are on track. I think 92 players are publicly committed on our website, but we're actually up to 100 right now. And incidentally, these final 10 players, most of them are in this Clemson-Alabama game. As a matter of fact, 7 or 8 of the 10 are playing Monday night. So we'll find out very soon after from both teams, players that have been invited, what their intentions are. But, yeah, we're on track. We're looking forward to it. We've got some terrific talent coming in from across the country. The Bears and the Browns were announced this week as the two NFL coaching staffs. And, of course, that's just determined by the NFL through draft order and intact coaching staff. So when Chip Kelly from the 49ers was fired on Monday, that eliminated San Francisco and brought the Bears into the mix for this year's Senior Bowl.
Awesome stuff, as always. Know you're extremely busy, Phil. We greatly appreciate your time. Safe travels. Good luck to the Tide on Monday night, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Guys, I appreciate it. Roll Tide, and, of course, anytime I do an interview within the state boundaries, Southern Light is the guys behind the scene that power me up. They're fiber fast down here in South Alabama.
Yes, they are.
You.
Great
appreciate
folks. We appreciate you mentioning them, Phil.
Thank you so much. All right, guys. I'll be good. Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year. Great stuff, Phil Savage, on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Bear, I've used the